Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. My name is Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're talking Baba Basra, Daf Samachov, the fourth parak Hamorches Abayis. So the three topics we're going to focus on, and when the fourth parak begins, Hamorches Abayis will machu yotzia. One who sells a house does not automatically sell the extension. Even if it opens into the house, he also has not sold the storeroom in the back of the house nor the roof if it has a 10 tefach fence around it. Rav Yehuda says that if there's a doorway to the roof, it's excluded from the sale even if its fence is shorter than 10 tefachim. In Bavel, Yetzi was interpreted as afta, a low building adjacent to the house used for the same dwelling function as the house. Rav Yosef interpreted as bidcha chalila, a similar structure with many windows made for beautification and cooling off. According to the first opinion that an afta is not sold to the house, then certainly a bidcha chalila would not be sold. According to Rav Yosef, only a bidcha chalila is not sold to the house because it serves a different purpose in the house, but an afta would be included in the sale. Point number two, Marzutra said, V'huda havi arba amos. This exclusion of the extension from the sale of the house is only if it is 4 square amos. If it's smaller, it's included in the sale. Ravina asked him that if so, the same should apply to the pit of a house. Yet, a Mishnah teaches that a pit is excluded from the sale of a house, although a standard pit is smaller than dalad amos. The Gemara answers that the cases are different. Hasam had tashmish tochachod, v'had tashmish tochachod. There, the house has its own function, and the pit has its own function. Since they serve different purposes, the pit is not included in the house's sale, even if it's smaller than dalad amos. Here, both the house and the extension have essentially the same purpose as a living area. Therefore, only if it's 4 square amos is it considered independently significant and excluded from the house's sale. And point number three, Rav Nachman said that if one sold a house in a Bira Gedola, a large apartment building, even if he described in the shtar the boundaries of the property with the outer boundaries of the entire building, we say he merely widened the boundaries for him to identify the building and not that he sold the entire building. The Gemara asks that if the local practice is to call a single house a house and an apartment building a Bira, not a house, Rav Nachman's ruling would be obvious. If everyone does call an apartment building a house, then the entire building should be sold since the outer boundaries were recorded in the shtar. Rather, the case is where most people use the word Bira and not house for a building, but some do call it a house. Rav Nachman teaches that since the seller should have written, I did not retain anything in the sale for myself, and he did not, it indicates that he did not sell the entire building. Rav Nachman ruled the same way with a field sold inside a large plain, where the seller used the boundaries of the entire plain. The Gemara explains the ruling the same way and explains the novelties of the two rulings. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The fourth parak begins. Hamorches Abayis will machu yotzia. One who sells a house does not automatically sell the extension. Even if it opens into the house. He also has not sold the storeroom in the back of the house, nor the roof, if it has a 10 tefach fence around it. Rav Yehuda says that if there's a doorway to the roof, it's excluded from the sale, even if its fence is shorter than 10 tefachim. In Bavel, Yetzi was interpreted as afta, a low building adjacent to the house, used for the same dwelling function as the house. Rav Yosef interpreted as bidcha chalila, a similar structure with many windows made for beautification and cooling off. According to the first opinion that an afta is not sold to the house, then certainly a bidcha chalila would not be sold. According to Rav Yosef, only a bidcha chalila is not sold to the house because it serves a different purpose in the house, but an afta would be included in the sale. Point number two, Marzutra said, V'huda havi arba amos. This exclusion of the extension from the sale of the house is only if it is 4 square amos. If it's smaller, it's included in the sale. Ravina asked him that if so, the same should apply to the pit of a house. Yet, a Mishnah teaches that a pit is excluded from the sale of a house, although a standard pit is smaller than dalad amos. The Gemara answers that the cases are different. Hasam had tashmish tochachod, v'had tashmish tochachod. There, the house has its own function, and the pit has its own function. Since they serve different purposes, the pit is not included in the house's sale, even if it's smaller than dalad amos. Here, both the house and the extension have essentially the same purpose as a living area. Therefore, only if it's 4 square amos is it considered independently significant and excluded from the house's sale. And point number three, Rav Nachman said that if one sold a house in a Bira Gedola, a large apartment building, even if he described in the shtar the boundaries of the property with the outer boundaries of the entire building, we say he merely widened the boundaries for him to identify the building and not that he sold the entire building. The Gemara asks that if the local practice is to call a single house a house and an apartment building a Bira, not a house, Rav Nachman's ruling would be obvious. If everyone does call an apartment building a house, then the entire building should be sold since the outer boundaries were recorded in the shtar. Rather, the case is where most people use the word Bira and not house for a building, but some do call it a house. Rav Nachman teaches that since the seller should have written, "I did not retain anything in the sale for myself," and he did not, it indicates that he did not sell the entire building. Rav Nachman ruled the same way with a field sold inside a large plain, where the seller used the boundaries of the entire plain. The Gemara explains the ruling the same way and explains the novelties of the two rulings. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Samach Aleph, and our standard Siman is a saw, and we use a magician doing the sawing a person in half trick for the Siman. So here goes. When the magician sold his house, which did not include the Yetziah, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, because it was 4 amas wide and did not include the 3 amah pit either, he used the money to purchase an apartment, which the seller described by using the walls of the entire building. Once again in slow motion. When the magician sold his house, which did not include the Yetziah, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, saw the man in half? That must be more in Daf Samach Aleph, saw. When the magician sold his house, which did not include the Yetziah, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, Hamocher Sabayis L'Mocher Yetziah. One who sells a house does not automatically sell the extension, even if it opens into the house. In Bavel, Yetziah was interpreted as afta, a low building adjacent to the house, used for the same dwelling function as the house. Rav Yosef interpreted it as bitka chalila, a similar structure with many windows made for beautification and cooling off. So, when the magician sold his house, which did not include the Yetziah, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, because it was 4 amos wide and did not include the 3 amah pit either, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that a Yetziah must be 4 amos to be excluded from the sale of the house, as opposed to a bor, which can even be smaller and excluded. There the house has its own function, and the pit has its own function. Since they serve different purposes, the pit is not included in the house's sale, even if it's smaller than dalet amos. Here, both the house and the extension have essentially the same purpose as a living area. Therefore, only if it's 4 square amos is it considered independently significant and excluded from the house's sale. So, when the magician sold his house, which did not include the Yetziah, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, because it was 4 amos wide and did not include the 3 amah pit either, he used the money to purchase an apartment, which the seller described by using the walls of the entire building, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that if one sold a house in the Bira Gadola, a large apartment building, even if he described it in the shtar, the boundaries of the property with the outer boundaries of the entire building, we say he merely widened the boundaries for him to identify the building, and not that he sold the entire building. So once again, when the magician sold his house, which did not include the Yetziah, where he practiced his saw the man in half trick, because it was 4 amos wide and did not include the 3 amah pit either, he used the money to purchase an apartment, which the seller described by using the walls of the entire building. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Nun Zayin. So the simmer Daf Nun Zayin is a nose. So here goes. The man with a long nose, that must be on Daf Nun Zayin, nose. The man with the long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists which activities in a property establish a chazaka that he acquired the right to continue doing that activity in that property. It first lists activities which cannot have a chazaka to continue. For example, if one plays an animal in another person's courtyard or movable utensils or chickens or manure, there's no chazaka, proving an acquired right to these activities because the owner doesn't protest such temporary activities. The Gemara asks that an owner would be expected to protest even temporary activities in his private domain, and Rabbi Bravu answered that the Mishnah's case is b'chatzur shutafin, a jointly owned courtyard, because partners do not object to these uses, although they impede its passage. So the man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard averted his eyes when walking past a woman in the river doing laundry, which reminds us, the pasuk says, V'otzim ein av me'eros b'ra, and one who shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Rabbi Bar Abba explains, Zeh she'ein mistaka b'nashim m'shasha omdos al hakvisa. This refers to one who does not gaze at women when they're standing over their laundering when their feet are exposed. So the man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard averted his eyes when walking past the woman in the river doing laundry and washing the cloak of a Talmud Chacham, which was long enough to cover all of his flesh, which reminds us, Yochanan asked Rabbi Bana, Chalok shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad, how long should the tunic of a Talmud Chacham be? He answered, Kol she'im b'sar nira metachtav, so that his flesh should not be visible from underneath. He asked about a Talmud Chacham's outer cloak, and Rabbi Bana answered, Kol she'im chalukon nira metachtav tefach, so that a tefach of his tunic should not be visible from below the cloak. Daf Nun Ches, so the symbol Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. The servant standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo. Zoo? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Ches, Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. the serpent standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of Rabbi Benel entering Maris Machpelah and encountering Eliezer and then Avram. Rabbi Benel said he gazed at Adam's two heels from outside, and they were like two globes of the sun. So the serpent standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo, didn't let nine brazen sons enter who were searching for their father's grave, which reminds the Gemara relates Rabbi Benel's wisdom. In one incident, a man overheard his wife berating his daughter, saying, "Why are you not discreet with transgressions of immorality? I have 10 sons, and only one is actually from your father." The father instructed his entire estate to be given to his one son. Rabbi Benel told the sons, "Go bang on your father's grave until he rises and reveals to you which of you he left his estate." All the sons went to do so except one, because mamzerim are brazen by nature, and the one legitimate son was not. Thus, Rabbi Benel awarded the estate to the true son. So the servant standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo, didn't let nine brazen sons enter who were searching for their father's grave, while the 10th son helped Noah Goldberg, the zookeeper, move a drain spout on top of the lion's cage that was dripping onto a neighbor's property, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamar Zeva Enwa Chazaka, a drain spout through which water flows off of a gutter, has no chazak to remain where water is dripping onto his neighbor's property. Vishkin Komo Chazaka, but its place has a chazaka. These spouts were not permanently attached, but moved from one place to another. So the neighbor's silence is not proof of an acquired right. Three interpretations are given. Daf Nun Tes, so the Simur Daf Nun Tes is a knight in shining armor. So here goes. The knight in shining armor, knight in shining armor, that must be Daf Nun Tes. The knight in shining armor who protested his neighbor from opening a window into his chatzer, where he practiced swordsmanship, which reminds the Gemara brings a discussion if a neighbor can protest a window above Dalet Amos. So the knight in shining armor who protested his neighbor from opening a window into his chatzer, where he practiced swordsmanship, and for sticking a beam into it, which got in the way of his lance, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a discussion of a chazaka of aziz, of a beam protruding into a neighbor's chatzer. So the knight in shining armor who protested his neighbor from opening a window into his chatzer, where he practiced swordsmanship, and for sticking a beam into it which got in the way of his lance, also protested a shutta from opening a window, even though he had a right in the chatzer, which reminds the Gemara discusses opening a window into a chatzer shutafin. A neighbor can say, "Until now, I only had to conceal myself while you were in the chatzer, but not when you were inside your house. Now, even when you're in your house, I need to conceal myself from you since you can view my activities through your window." Daf Samach. So the Simur Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The people standing outside their tents, which had smiley face stickers on them, smiley face stickers, that must be on Daf Samach. The people standing outside their tents, which had smiley face stickers on them, since their openings did not face one another, which reminds the Gemara teaches not to open the opening of one's home opposite another opening, as derived from Bilam's bracha to Klal Yisrael, which was inspired when he saw that the openings of their tents were not opposite one another. So the people standing outside their tents, which had smiley face stickers on them, since their openings did not face one another, who put sad face stickers on their meat and wine bottles because of the churban, Beis HaMikdash, which reminds us of Rabbi Yeshua's discussion regarding the correct level of avelas for the churban, when he saw people refraining from eating meat and drinking wine since karbanos and nesachim are no longer brought. So the people standing outside their tents, which had smiley face stickers on them, since their openings did not face one another, who put sad face stickers on their meat and wine bottles because of the churban, Beis HaMikdash, were taught by a rabbi to leave over a small area without plaster opposite their entrances, and that they will eventually come to smile in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua gave over proper practices for mourning the Churban, such as leaving over an area in the front hall of a house that's not plastered, and teaching V'kol Masabo Yerushalayim, and anyone who mourns for Yerushalayim, Zoche V'Rob Simchasa, will merit to witness its ultimate rejoicing. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn that if one witness said the machzik cultivated wheat, and the other said he cultivated barley, their edus is combined? That's on duff. Nun Vav. Good number two. Which stuff do we have a case where one sells an apartment by identifying the boundaries of the entire building? That's on Dav. Samachalov. Good number three. Which stuff do we learn about practices for mourning the Churban, such as leaving a space in one's home unplastered? That's on Dav. Samach. Good number four. Which stuff do we learn when one sells a house, the Yetziya is not included? That's on Dav. Samachalov. Good number five, which stuff do you discuss if one can protest his neighbor opening a window into his chatzer? That's on Dav. Nun Tes. Good number six, which stuff do we discuss the chazaka of a marzev, a drain spout? That's on Dav. Nun Ches. Good number seven, which stuff do you learn about the incorrect level of avelos for the churban, such as not eating any meat or wine? That's on Dav. Samach. Good number eight, which stuff even about acquiring land by paying its property tax? That's on Duff. Nun hey. Good number nine. Which of them in the Yitzia must be at least dalad by dalad amos not to be included in the sale of a house, whereas a pit can be smaller and not included? That's on Duff. Samachov. Good number 10. Which stuff when a person will not protest his partner doing temporary activities in their courtyard, such as placing metaltling there? That's on Duff. Nun Zion. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody from Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.